The book of John, chapter 4. John chapter 4. Let's read from verse 1. You know, I have a message, but I just feel the Holy Spirit changing what I should preach right now. And you know, sometimes you go through certain storms in life, and the storms seem overwhelming. You find out that the life you live as a Christian, you'll always have storms. And a lot of times we question the reason why certain storms come our way. Sometimes we don't understand the reason, the purpose why there's a storm that we're going through. But one thing I've come to realize is that no matter what the storm is, if your foundation, if you are rooted in God, that storm can never destroy that foundation. Sometimes the storm seems like as if it will never stop. You sometimes have a prolonged storm. You sometimes have a storm that comes and it's so fierce. It might be for a short season, but it's fierce. So, for example, you have the likes of the storms that we had in the Caribbean a couple of years ago, Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane Charlie. Very short, but the destruction they left behind. And there are times that when we have such storms, the destruction it leaves behind breaks the spirit we have. But as long as you are rooted in God, no matter how fierce the storm is, it cannot destroy your spirit. You know, let me just share a couple of things with you. When you look through the Bible, you find out that there are different storms that different people went through. Now, like I said, this is not what I planned to share. I was going to share about lay down your nets, a continuation of what I've been sharing. But I just feel, I'm feeling led this way. Sometimes you find out that in the Bible, if you study the Bible, you see scenarios, situations where different people have been through different storms. If you look at the life of Jonah, turn with me to the book of Jonah. In the book of Jonah, if I can find Jonah. Jonah is in the Bible, after Amos, after Obadiah. Before Micah. So start, if you start from Malachi and start looking backwards, you'll find it. If you go through, are you there? Now, if you look at the book of Jonah chapter 1, the Bible says something. It says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. You find out that God spoke to Jonah and gave him a certain instruction. But then the Bible tells us something. It says that, but Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So Jonah wanted to do his will, not the will of God. God gave Jonah a word. He told him his will, what he wanted him to do. But Jonah chose to follow what he wanted to do. Jonah decided that God's will is not really my will. God's will is not attractive to me. God's will is not what I planned for my life. Am I making sense? Jonah decided that contrary to obeying what God said, he was going to do his own thing. And it's interesting because if you look further down in verse 4, the Bible says, "But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was on the ship into the sea to lighten the load." But it says, "But Jonah had gone into the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep." And then we know the story. There was a storm in the boat that Jonah was in. But if you trace back the origin of the storm was from God. Why? Because of Jonah's disobedience. There are storms that will come your way, and you don't understand why it is, but sometimes you need to trace back your step. Because it is because you disobeyed and you are going your own way, not the way God has told you to go. And sometimes we have some storms in our life and we're wondering why is it happening. But we don't realize that there was, when we got to a crossroad and God is saying, go this way. But because of our desire, our inner desire, we decided to go this way. And we get into a storm, get this, until you retrace your steps and go back. Back to the crossroads and go the direction God told you to go, the storm will continue. Listen to me. If you study the book of Jonah carefully, you'll find out that in the book of Jonah, that storm continued. In fact, I felt sorry for the sailors that were in the boat with him. Because they had nothing to do with the storm, but just for the fact that they had a disobedient person in their camp. When you have a disobedient person in your camp, even though you may be going the right way, but because the disobedient person is in the boat with you, get this, the storm that is coming would affect you. And if you look at that book carefully, you'll find out that Jonah, in verse 10, he says that the men were afraid and said to Jonah, "Why have you done this?" So that's after he had told them what he did. And they threw him into the sea. And then, listen to this. In verse 12, and he said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me." The storm that he faced was because of the disobedience. And then from the storm, he entered the belly of a fish. But get this, until he repented and retraced his steps, he did not come out of that situation. There may be certain things you're going through. There may be certain challenges. There may be certain storms that you have in your life. It may be financial. It may be career-wise. It may be business-wise. It might be marital. It may be whatever area. Get this. Sometimes you need to retrace your steps, repent, and go back the way God told you to do. Sometimes we know that we are in direct disobedience to what God said. But because we have our own innate desire that we want to satisfy, we refuse to do the things God is saying. So we say, "God, in this area, but other areas, yes, I will obey you. But this area, God, I want to do my own thing." That's the first reason that a storm comes. Because of disobedience or sin. Jonah's storm came because of the disobedience. You'll notice something in there. The Bible says in Jonah chapter 2 verse 1, it says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. And verse 10, so the Lord spoke to the fish and he vomited Jonah onto dry land. And notice this, verse chapter 3, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. So God gave him a second chance and said, okay, let's start again. I will retell you what I told you to do in the first place. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. Get this, if Jonah had chosen once again to go his own way, he would have ended up in the same place. Sometimes we repent, we know we've done something, we repent, we say, God, okay, I'll start doing it the way you said. But then, the minute we get out of the storm, we are back doing our own thing. And then it's like you go back into the storm. The first reason why people encounter storms in their life is because of their disobedience, the sin that they have brought upon themselves. Let me shut this. Second reason why sometimes you have a storm. You have certain storms that the enemy sends your way. Not because you were disobedient, not because you did anything wrong, but just because the enemy is trying to ensure that you did not get to your destiny. Just to ensure that God's purpose is not fulfilled in your life. Listen to me, the truth of the matter is that storms are inevitable. That's the truth. At one point or the other, you will encounter some kind of storm in your life. What do I mean by storm? Some challenges, some trials. There are some that you don't have a solution to. There are some that through wisdom or through counseling, you'll come out of it. There are some that you just have to stay in there and it passes its time. And the process needs to happen. But a lot of people want to cut short the process. Get this. Anytime you are in the will of God, you can be certain that you will be facing different kinds of attack from the enemy. That's the truth. But that is by the way. It's not, you know, he's doing his own job, we are doing our own job. But then, and I use the word attacks, but then some attacks are severe. If you think of Job as an example. Job, the Bible says Job was a righteous man. He was righteous. God was proud of him. But what happened? He faced a severe challenge in his life. But I said something. I said, as long as you remain rooted in God, as long as your foundation is solid, the storm cannot break you. You know, if you turn to the book of Acts 27, is this making sense? Acts 27. Let me read from verse 9. Are you there? Acts 27, verse 9. It says, now when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. And because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, opening toward the southwest and northwest and winter there. Verse 13, when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, notice that. It says they supposed, it was a deceiving wind. It was blowing, but it was a deceiving wind. Deceiving them in the sense that making them think that everything is okay. And then he says something. He says, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, a tempestuous headwind arose called Euroclydon. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. And running under the shelter of an island called Clodia, we secured the skiff with difficulty. When they are taking it on board, they use cables. But basically, notice this. Paul was on the journey towards his destiny. Now, he got a prompting that let's not go this way, or let's not go now. But then the Bible says something that the people within, that they decided they wanted to go. But if you notice, it says that a certain kind of wind blew softly. What do you see, sometimes you have certain things that are deceiving. It seems as if everything is okay. And you think, oh, let's step into it. But it's something that has been sent by the enemy to deceive. And the minute you step into it, the enemy rears, and he says, as they set sail, a tempestuous wind, storm began to blow. Even had a name, Euroclydon. Sometimes I wonder how they come up with these names. And you see, Paul was on the way to fulfill destiny, but there was something that wanted to stop them. Notice this, he said something. He warned them, he said, I perceive that it will end with disaster and much loss. The enemy wanted to snuff out their life. Isn't that what he says? So he caught it in the spirit that if we set sail, there is an ambush. There's a storm waiting, which would kill not just the men, everything will be lost. It says also their lives. But notice how he withstood it. Notice how he withstood it. In verse 21, it says something. It says that, in fact, let me read from verse 20. In verse 20, it says, now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. So they felt that we are gone. And then in verse 21, but after long abstinence from food, what was he standing upon? God. That was what saved them from losing their lives. Paul's life would have been cut short if his foundation was not solid. His destiny would have been aborted. The Bible says, it says that they had given up hope. But what was Paul doing at that stage? It says, but after long abstinence from food, he had been praying, he had been waiting on God, he had been seeking God's face. And based on that, lives were saved. But notice that the enemy wanted to cut out their lives. But what saved them? Because he stood upon the word. He was grounded in the word. If he had been like the other men and had given up early, they may have died. What's my point? The enemy will send storms your way that will try to abort your destiny. There will be certain kinds of challenges. Notice this. I said that some storms will overwhelm you. These guys, they had lost hope. The storm was overwhelming. They thought that they cannot get out of this alive. Sometimes you go through certain challenges and you think that this one, although it's not killing you physically, but it has killed your spirit. This one, although it is not killing you physically, it has killed your vision. This one, although it's not killing you physically, but it has killed your strength. Every strength you had, it's gone. I don't know about you. Have you ever been in certain situations that whereby you just cannot pray anymore? Sometimes this storm wears you out so much that you give up on praying. Is this making sense? You'll pardon me because I didn't prepare this. So if I'm all over the place. Second kind of storm that you sometimes have. Or is it thought? Okay. The third one is the storm that comes just that God's name may be glorified. And I'm looking for the scripture, but we know the story. There was a time that Jesus was on the boat with his disciples. And a storm arose. Now, it's interesting because when the storm arose, the Bible says that Jesus was sleeping. And when I look at it, when the storm arose in Jonah's life, he was sleeping. But there were different kinds of sleeps. Do you know that? Jesus' kind of sleep was a sleep of peace. But Jonah's kind of sleep was a sleep of escapism. Hallelujah. Has anybody found the scripture? Mark 1. Thank you. 4. Thank you very much. Mark chapter 4, verse 37. The Bible says there. Are you there? The Bible says, on the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as it was. And other little boats were also with him. Verse 37, and a great windstorm arose. Notice that, a great storm arose. And it says, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. So water was coming in there. But notice this, but he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. It's interesting because sometimes when you have certain kinds of storm, you still have peace. There are some kinds of storm that is happening around you and everything is shaking and things and you are sleeping. It's a sleep of peace. Because you've already heard the word that it is well. Because you've already heard the word that you will come out of it alive. Because you've already heard the word that you know that already that at the end of it, God's name will be glorified. And you know this storm, the Bible says the storm arose. And water was already coming into the boats. You need to get the context of this. Because the Bible says that, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Which means that the boat was already being waterlogged. Now, imagine the boat being waterlogged and Jesus was sleeping. You know, when you know, sometimes when you know the God you serve, and when he has spoken certain things to you, and you know it is already settled, it seems like the boat is sinking. But you know that it is well. And it's interesting because the Bible says that, but he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Verse 39, then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Three words. Peace, be still. Peace, be still. And the Bible says that, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. When I look at this, it amazes me how the Bible did not say he started praying. Because he had already prayed before. The prayer was already there. There was a certain level of authority that he spoke with. That by the time he spoke, the people around him knew that, yes, there truly is a God. And there are certain kinds of storms that come your way, but it is because God wants to glorify his name at the end of it. And you see, you need to be able to recognize the three different types of storms I just explained to you. Because if your response in one storm, if it's a storm of disobedience that's come because of disobedience, and your response is peace be still. Hallelujah. This morning, I want you to understand something. There's the storm going all over the nations. The world is in a storm. There's a storm raging in the world right now. Raging the economies, the financial system. There's a storm raging in organizations. There's a storm raging in homes. There's a storm raging in the lives of people. But the only people that will stand at the end of the storm are those that are rooted in God. The only people that will stand at the end of the storm are those that their faith in God is unshakable. The only people that will stand at the end of the storm. You see, God is shaking everything that is shakable. What people have put their foundation upon is being shaken. Shares are being shaken. Properties are being shaken. Jobs are being shaken. The economy is being shaken. Even people are being shaken. But get this. Your trust needs to be rooted in God. Let's rise up and pray.